Man is reading from 1 Thessalonians, verses 2 to 10, which you'll find on page 1186 of the Pew Bibles, 1186. After which Jamie will come up to talk about the passage.
We always thank God for all of you and continually mention you in our prayers. We remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labour prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers and sisters loved by God, that he has chosen you, because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit and deep conviction. You know how we lived among you for our sake. You became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you welcomed the message in the midst of severe suffering with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. And so you became a model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. The Lord's message rang out from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia. Your faith in God has become known everywhere. Therefore, we do not need to say anything about it, for they themselves report what kind of reception you gave us. They tell how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath. This is the word of the Lord.
Morning, everyone. Let's pray again as we start. Lord, as we come to your word today, may your Holy Spirit be at work in us. May my words be faithful to your word and pleasing to you. And may our hearts be open to what you want to teach us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Our youngest daughter is a little over 8 months old. And as babies her age do, she spends time intently watching people do things, watching people's faces as she learns how things are done. She's watching us as a template for all the new things that she has to learn to do. Walking, using her hands, talking, and so on. In the verses we've just read from Paul's letter to the Thessalonians, recorded in the book of 1 Thessalonians, he describes the Thessalonian Christians as a model to all the believers in their surrounding area of Macedonia and Achaia. They were a church that other believers could look to as a good example of what the Christian life should look like. If the Thessalonians were a good example, a good model for the Christian life to the churches around them at the time, then their example must provide a good example to us of what a healthy Christian faith looks like. So we're going to take time to consider some of the aspects of their faith that Paul mentions in these verses near the opening of the letter and think about what this means for us. By way of a background to the letter, and Paul's relationship with the Thessalonians, Paul initially preached the gospel to the Thessalonians on his second missionary journey and was accompanied by Silas and Timothy, who he lists at the very start of the letter as co-senders. Hence, in today's verses, there are lots of mentions of we and us rather than I and me, because Silas and Timothy, who the Thessalonians would also have known, were also endorsing the letter that Paul had written. We read about Paul initially preaching the gospel in Thessalonica, known as Thessaloniki in Greece today, in Acts verse 17. It says in 17 verse 2, as was his custom, Paul went into the synagogue, and on three Sabbath days he reasoned with them from the scriptures. After successfully bringing some Jews and a large number of God-fearing Greeks, including some prominent women, to faith in Jesus, Paul and Silas had to leave Thessalonica very quickly, after some disbelieving Jews stirred up trouble with the authorities about their presence in the city. Paul writes in the latter part of 1 Thessalonians, in chapter 3, that although he and Silas had longed to go back, they had been unable to. However, they were able to send Timothy back to them, and he was able to report back to Paul how the Thessalonians were progressing in their faith. The news that came back about the Thessalonians' lives in their absence was good news. And Paul opens the passage that we're studying today by writing in verse 2, "We always thank God for all of you and continually mention you in our prayers." The first aspect of the Thessalonian Christians' lives, which gave Paul reason to give thanks, was how the Thessalonians' faith made a difference in their lives, which brings me to my first point, faith that makes a difference. Faith that makes a difference. Take a look back at verses 2 and 3. They say, "We always thank God for all of you continually and mention you in our prayers. We remember before our God and Heavenly Father your work produced by faith, your labour prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ." Since being convinced that Jesus is the Messiah, the Thessalonians' faith had been one that was active. Paul mentions the Thessalonians' work, labour, and endurance. These are aspects of the Thessalonians' lives that didn't spring from being Thessalonian, but rather from being Christian. The work that Paul mentions was a result of their faith, not work for an employer to earn money or for their own betterment, but rather work for God's glory and to further his kingdom. Without their faith, they would have no reason to put effort towards these things. But now, thankful to God for his saving grace to them in Jesus, they had a desire to live and do work to please God. Paul also mentions their labour prompted by love in verse 3. In coming to Jesus for forgiveness, they found the ultimate selfless love of a Saviour who gave himself up for their sake. The right response to this love is love for other believers, our brothers and sisters in Christ. As Jesus said to his disciples in John 15, verses 34 and 35, A new command I give to you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. Love for others is not just confined to other Christians, though. Jesus commands us, love your neighbour as yourself. Matthew 22, verse 39. As the result of becoming Christians, the Thessalonian believers were now driven to serve one another as well as those in their wider community out of love, doing things and seeing needs that otherwise they wouldn't have thought of. Lastly, Paul references their endurance inspired by hope in Jesus Christ. The certain hope of a future forever with Jesus meant they could keep going through hardships as they faced the current world, including new hardships they faced because of following Jesus. Following Paul and Silas' arrival and initial ministry in Thessalonica, Acts 17 tells us, "Some of the Jews were persuaded and joined Paul and Silas, as did a large number of God-fearing Greeks and a few prominent women. But other Jews were jealous, so they rounded up some bad characters from the marketplace, formed a mob, and started a riot in the city. They rushed to Jason's house in search of Paul and Silas in order to drag them out to the crowd. When they did not find them, they dragged Jason and some other believers before the city officials, shouting, 'These men who have caused trouble all over the world have now come here, and Jason has welcomed them into his house. They're all defying Caesar's decrees, saying that there is another king, called Jesus.' When they heard this, the crowd and the city officials were thrown into turmoil. Then they put Jason and the others on bail and let them go." Because of their faith, the believers in Thessalonica had to face an angry mob willing to damage their property, who dragged a number of them before the local authorities. The authorities, for their part, made the Christians pay security money in case of further disturbance. going was not easy for the Thessalonian church from the get-go. But the Thessalonian believers' hope for the future because of Jesus helped them to keep going through trials such as these. They had an everlasting future with Christ to look forward to, which the trials of the current world couldn't spoil. So the Thessalonians' newfound faith had dynamic outward consequences in their lives in terms of new work to do, acts of service out of love for one another and their neighbour, and resilience to endure struggles, including new challenges which came from the opposition of the world to their faith. Their change in status came with an associated change in their lives. If you become a parent, you have a new relationship with a new child, and it changes your life. And a range of new activities follow, focused on looking after your child, things to do motivated by love. When the Thessalonians became Christians, they entered a restored relationship with God through Christ, and their lives changed. For us too, the natural consequences of becoming Christians in relationship with our saving God should be new work produced by faith, new labours prompted by love, and new endurance inspired by hope. Our work produced by faith might be serving in the church, doing practical or administrative or nobody else wants to do jobs essential to keeping the church running. It might be contributing to the teaching of the church, helping the spiritual growth of others. Our labour prompted by love might include caring for our Christian brothers and sisters, helping them practically, helping them do things that they find difficult, which we don't, helping them financially, helping emotionally, taking time to talk with and help those struggling, as well as keeping them in our prayers. Loving our neighbour as ourself might mean any number of ways to show kindness and provide support for those in need in our community and beyond. It must surely also mean holding out the hope of the gospel to those around us. What greater kindness can we offer? Our endurance is proved as we keep going, staying faithful to Christ in the midst of the challenges that our world throws at us. Our major trials might be those that arise from being Christians, facing hostility, discrimination, or being disregarded because of our faith. Or they might arise from the illness, sadness, violence, and brokenness that exist generally in our fallen world. In either case, we have a wonderful hope in Christ to cling to, which will help us endure the certain hope of a future forever with Him when all of these trials are gone. Having described the active living faith of the Thessalonians, Paul next points to the authenticity of their faith. And that's our next point. Faith that's undeniably authentic. Paul says in verse 4, "For we know, brothers and sisters, loved by God, that He has chosen you." In other words, Paul and his co-workers in the gospel are confident to assert that the Thessalonians' faith is authentic. They are chosen by God to be part of His loved, redeemed people, genuinely saved by His grace. The basis for this confidence is given in verse 5. "Because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit and deep conviction. You know how we lived among you for your sake. You became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you welcomed the message in the midst of severe suffering with the joy given by the Holy Spirit." The first reason that Paul gives for his confidence in these verses is the nature of the gospel message that they received, saying, "Our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit and deep conviction." The basis of genuine saving faith is a genuine saving message. The gospel message that Paul and his fellow missionaries brought had hallmarks to show that it was genuine. Firstly, It came with power. Reading the apostles' activities in the book of Acts, we find powerful preaching, which got noticed and received strong responses, both positive and negative. We also read about powerful miracles, such as the miraculous opening of the prison doors and release of the prisoners' chains in Philippi while Paul and Silas were imprisoned there prior to their arrival in Thessalonica, which led to the conversion of their jailer. As well as power, their message came with the evident work of the Holy Spirit, who was working in the missionaries themselves and in those who believed. Finally, it was accompanied by deep conviction, with Paul and others involved in the ministry obviously sincerely convinced of the truth of the message. Paul finishes by saying in verse 5, "You know how we lived among you for your sake." The integrity of the message that Paul and his companions preached was reinforced by the consistency of their lives with the message. This brings us on to the second reason for Paul's confidence, which is the response of the Thessalonians to the message. Let's look back at verse 6. Paul writes, "You became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you welcomed the message in the midst of severe suffering with the joy given by the Holy Spirit." The Thessalonians responded to the gospel exactly as they should. They welcomed it and followed the missionaries' example in seeking to be like Jesus. Furthermore, they did so joyfully in the midst of suffering, a testament to the work of the Holy Spirit in their lives. If you were buying something expensive, you probably want to check that it's genuine. If you look online, you can find the features to look for to tell you if something is genuine. Apparently, genuine Rolex watches have etched lettering around the inside rim, micro-etched crowns on the dial in post-2002 watches, and a unique serial number that can be checked by removing the wrist strap. Levi's jeans have a red tab on the back right pocket, double arch stitching design on the back pockets, embossing on either side of the rivets, and a number on the back of their button. So there you go. The characteristics that Paul references here, being built on the true gospel message and changed lives seeking to imitate Jesus with the help of the Holy Spirit, were hallmarks which showed that the faith of the Thessalonians was genuine and authentic. If we're Christians, naturally our hope is that our faith will have these hallmarks too. We don't have Paul himself coming to preach to us directly, but we can have the same confidence in the gospel message that we've received if it's rooted in the Bible. It includes teaching from the apostles, like Paul, as well as the teaching of Jesus' ministry on earth, recorded from eyewitnesses. The power and deep conviction in the apostles' teaching is still evident today when we read of the trials and suffering that they were willing to endure for the sake of the message, as well as the miracles and work of the Holy Spirit that accompanied their ministry. And we can be in no doubt as to the sincerity and conviction of Jesus' ministry when we look to his willingness to go to the cross for our sake. We can be in no doubt as to the power of Jesus' ministry, knowing that the grave had no hold on him when we read about his glorious resurrection. If we stick to the authentic message, the second thing that accompanies undeniably authentic faith, like that of the Thessalonian believers, is striving to imitate Jesus. We can take inspiration from the lives of Christians like Paul as they have sought to follow Jesus, remembering that it's Jesus himself whose example that we all ultimately follow. Striving to imitate Jesus, rejecting selfish sinfulness, isn't easy because it goes against the way of our fallen world. But it is an essential part of healthy, authentic faith, like that of the Thessalonian church. Comfortingly, in endeavouring to be more like Jesus, we're not alone, as genuine faith is accompanied by the work of the Holy Spirit The Spirit highlights the truth of the gospel message to us, shows us where we need to change, and helps us to keep going and even rejoice when things are difficult. Faith, like we've seen in the passage so far, undeniably authentic faith, which makes a difference to the believer's life and has effects which go beyond that person, as we see in the last section of today's passage. The Thessalonian believer's faith was a faith that got noticed. And that's our last point. Faith that gets noticed. Let's look back again at verses 7 to 10. And so you became a model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. The Lord's message rang out from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia. Your faith in God has become known everywhere. Therefore, we do not need to say anything about it, for they themselves report the kind of reception you gave us. They tell how you turn from God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath. The changed lives of the Thessalonians had been noticed by other Christians in the surrounding area of Macedonia and Achaia, and served as a model for all these other believers. Verse 7 says, "And so you became a model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia." The surrounding Christians could look to the Thessalonian believers and see a great example of what the Christian life should look like. Not only that, but verse 8 says that the Lord's message rang out from them, not just to the surrounding region, but all over the place. Their faith wasn't just known by other believers, but rather resulted in the spread of the gospel far and wide. The fundamental change in the Thessalonians' lives, as verse 9 and 10 describes, was that they turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait on his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath. From being people who worship false gods, they became people who serve the one true God. They could now look forward to the future because of Jesus, who had saved them from facing God's wrath in his final judgment on sin through his death on the cross. At the cross, Jesus faced the wrath that believers deserve. He took their place. Rather than facing wrath, the Thessalonians now had the certain hope of a perfect future with Jesus, where all things will be made new. For people not yet trusting in Jesus, hearing about or witnessing the Thessalonians' faith and the sure hope of salvation that they had because of it offered a first step toward thinking about Jesus more and thinking about the possibility of accepting this rescue from the coming wrath for themselves. Things changing tend to get people talking. Maybe that's some of the reasoning behind the recent flurry of changes on the social media platform Twitter. Elon Musk has kept Twitter in the news regularly over in recent months since taking it over, changing its rules for users, retiring its famous bird logo, and changing its name to X. The difference in our lives when we become Christians isn't a change in branding or even just a new set of rules. It's a fundamental change of turning to God from idols to serve the living and true God. And the fundamental motivation of this change isn't publicity or profit. It's motivated by changed hearts, thankful to God who saved us. But although publicity isn't our motivation, if our lives are different from how we used to live, different from the rest of the world because of Jesus, that difference is going to be noticed by those around us, like that of the Thessalonians was. And where people notice lives changed by Jesus, there's the opportunity to start them thinking about Jesus and start conversations about Jesus. As Christians, our aim has to be that our hope in Jesus changes our lives such that others do notice the difference, so that we can be both a helpful encouragement to fellow believers and so that our changed lives are noticed by others who don't know Jesus and make them want to know more. Along with the witness of our changed lives, we of course need to take opportunities that we can to explain our hope in Jesus to others and give them the chance to hear more. For example, at church events or on a Sunday. Hopeful that with God's help, the gospel will ring out from us too, pointing those we know towards salvation from the coming wrath. So as we conclude, I think in these verses, we've seen a model of what healthy Christian faith looks like. The Thessalonian believers' faith made a difference in their lives, bringing new work for God's kingdom and to serve others, as well as bringing endurance to keep going through trials. It was undeniably authentic, founded on sound, true teaching, and accompanied by a clear aim to be more like Jesus. And it got noticed. The change in their lives encouraged other believers and aided the spread of the gospel. As we head back out into the world, let's be challenged to be people whose faith makes a difference to our lives and whose faith makes a difference to how we respond to and endure the JE challenges we face. Let's be challenged to be people whose faith makes a difference to our relationships, motivating us to love and serve each other as brothers and sisters in Christ, and to love and serve those that God has put around us in our surrounding communities. Let's be challenged to keep reading our Bibles, to receive the teaching from God's word that authentic faith is founded on, and that with the work of the Holy Spirit will help us to love and imitate Jesus more. And let's pray that people notice how we change because of Jesus and are drawn to know more about the God who has brought about this change in us. Let's pray as we finish. Father God, as Paul prayed thanking you for the Thessalonian believers and their faith, we thank you for them too, and the example to us provided here in these verses. Help us, like them, to follow the ultimate example of our Lord Jesus Christ in all things. May our lives be those which are changed by our relationship with you, to serve you and your kingdom. May we too seek to be an encouragement to others in how we live out our faith, as well as a witness to those who don't yet know and share our hope in you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.